better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Stanley is in Glenwood. What's going on, Stanley?
Hey, John. Good morning. I guess I may have looked at the Missouri game a neutral site game?
It's in War Memorial Stadium. Technically, I guess they call it a home game, but it's not at the home stadium, so mainly just being cheap.
Oh, well, I tell you what, if it comes down to that game for Arkansas to make a bowl, that place will be rocking.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. My only worry for us this year of making a bowl will be I think our defense is just going to get wore down. What do y'all think?
I mean, they've already taken on several injuries, and I know Bumper Pool was back at practice, but, you know, you have one of these guys like Bumper Pool, Stanley, gets dinged up a little bit and becomes questionable, and then you start looking around and you realize, oh, crap. You know, the depth's not there. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
The defense not just getting wore down, but getting beat up and not having the guys available you need to win at least six ball games.
You know, what I noticed, John, this year while they're on defense is they'll play their seniors, Sosa and the other guys all at the same time and then bring the freshmen in. I wonder why they don't kind of split them up a little bit.
Well, I think there are times, though, that, yeah, they start with that, but there are times where you'll just see some new tackles come in or some new ends come in, and they'll still have some seniors there, but they'll mix it up a little bit. But and there'll be some times where they take all four seniors out and then they put in some new guys. I think it's just ever-changing whoever's fresh and whoever's having success against the offensive line and some of the weak points that they may have against the opponent's offensive line.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Okay, but y'all have a good weekend.
Hey, appreciate it, Stanley. Yep. Appreciate you calling in.
If Clay were on this early, he would tell you, because you win with seniors on the defensive line.
Well, I mean, you know, seniors, and just in general in football, I mean, if you have, especially who have legitimate experience and have been around and have played a lot, like a lot of these seniors at Arkansas have on the defensive front, yeah, you go with that. Experience goes so long in SEC play.
It is the game experience. It's the physical maturity, though. Your body at 18 or 19 versus you're 21, 22, you're more of a grown man. You know, I mean, not more of, you are. I mean, you just physically change so much. That's why you win with upperclassmen in the trenches is, the bodies generally, there's very few guys at that age, and there's some that are physically ready to play at 18 years old, 19 years old. You're not done growing, but by the time you get in your early 20s, you're physically ready to go dominate the position.
Yeah, and there's a reason why the NFL does not draft anybody or have a rule in place where you have to be at least 3 years removed from high school in order for you to be drafted into the NFL, because yeah, listen, this isn't basketball or baseball where there are people that are already coming out of high school. I don't know if ever in the future of football you'll ever have an 18-year-old kid who's physically, mentally, and everything ready for the NFL coming out of high school. I just don't think that'll be the case.
Could Jadeveon Clowney play to the NFL his freshman year?
No.
At South Carolina? He's the closest in recent times that I can think of a man-child.
Yeah.
That came into particularly the Southeastern Conference that, hey, that guy right there could have started and played. I think maybe he could have, but just mentally, a lot more physically. He was physically ready, though.
Oh, yeah.
But mentally, maturity, all of these things. I mean, you got to remember, the NFL's investing millions of dollars into their players. They would be very skeptical of an 18-year-old kid, but yeah, that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why.
Well, and if you think about it too, Tommy, you know, we talk about the differences between college football speed alone and NFL speed. You know, in college football, you'll have a few guys you'll be going up against that run 4.3s, 4.4s, 4.5s.
Yep.
And then there'll be a lot of guys that run 4.9s, 5.3s, something like that. But in the NFL, especially if you're an offense going up against the defense, everybody on the defensive side of the ball runs 4.5s. Yep. You know, everybody's got that speed. Everyone's got that strength. So you're not ready for that. So I don't see that ever happening. And that's why, again, going back to the point that having those seniors and having those guys who have been through the weight rooms, who have gotten their bodies into a spot to where they're used to the grind of playing in the SEC week in and week out, that goes a long way. And if you look at some of the national championship teams and some of the best teams, and it's Alabama or Clemson or whoever, if you look about how many seniors they have, or at least upperclassmen that they have, of course, talent goes a long way too, but a good majority of them are upperclassmen, and that's the difference, and that's really what separates your team from being a good team to a great team.
You just think about when you come out of high school. I mean, and there's some schools more advanced than others with weight training and off season and the way they work on their bodies, but none of them are on the level of a college with the strength and conditioning staff. And then you think about the nutrition, which is really more important than the weight training in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
No high school that I know of has a nutritional program where they've got nutritionists and they're preparing meals and doing the things that you get at the college level. So, I mean, just the things that they do to change your body, change your habits, to develop you into a pro when you get into big-time college football is just, that's what prepares you.
Well, and also, I just keep thinking mentally in my mind, because I played a little high school football, and I know you ref high school football, so you get to see, you know, how the games are played and the hits and all of that. But could you imagine, you know, being a star player in high school and, you know, you finish your senior year and you've been used to getting hit by high school kids, and then a few months later, it's like, all right, now you're in training camp in the NFL and you're about to get hit by an NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the difference that would be alone would just be tremendous. So, but it's all about those seniors, and it's all about making sure you have enough of those to be able to carry you through, especially when you lack experience like Arkansas does right now.
Morning Rush is brought to you in part by Crabtree RV in Alma, exit 13 off of I-40, right next door to the Cracker Barrel. Save right now up to $15,000 off new fifth wheels, up to $10,000 on new travel trailers, and check out the all-new Catalina with patio. Right now, it's only $249 a month, plus all the new 2020 models are starting to arrive, particularly from Grand Design and Coachman Freedom Express. It's at Crabtree RV in Alma, exit 13 off of I-40. It's where your family's dreams come true.
We're going to have some of the football games going on this weekend. We've obviously got Arkansas and San Jose State that we're going to be most fascinated in, but there's a really good slate of college football games, especially in the SEC. Starting at 11 a.m., you got Tennessee and Florida, which it's, again, crazy to me how this game, for years, especially in the mid to late 90s and early 2000s, this was the game of college football. And it was must-watch television. And now it's not necessarily the case anymore. But you got Tennessee and Florida going on at 11 a.m. Then at 2:30 p.m., the game of the week in the SEC is Auburn and Texas A&M. That game, of course, being played in Arlington. And then to cap off the night at 6 p.m., also on CBS, you have number 3 Georgia and number 7 Notre Dame. That game being played in Athens, Georgia. And you got a lot of great games, and a few of these teams, of course, that Arkansas is going to be most interested in watching. But just focusing on the Auburn and Texas A&M game, though, if you're Arkansas, and since you play Texas A&M next week, do you want A&M to lose this game, or do you want them to win this game, or does it even matter?
Oh, I don't know that it matters in giving Arkansas a better chance one way or the other. I guess you'd rather have them lose, you know, and be down on their, be you know, kind of down in the dumps, you know, having to lick their wounds for a few days before they can really get focused in on you, where the focus of the team and the fan base, and, you know, where it's hard to turn the page to get to the Arkansas game. I don't know that it matters either way, honestly, John.
And it may not. It may not. I've just always found it fascinating, though, that some people will say, well, you want this team to win because if they win, then maybe they'll start overlooking you a little bit. But if you want them to lose, like you were saying, I mean, I don't know if it'll necessarily matter. But here's the great thing about A&M's schedule this year, at least in the next three games. They have Auburn today or tomorrow. Then they have Arkansas. And then they have a bye week, and then Alabama. So it would have been, to me, best if they didn't have that bye week and they just had Alabama the next week, because then you could legitimately say that Arkansas game would be a trap game. But I think that right there might be at least something to look at, because they do have Arkansas in between Auburn and Alabama. And, of course, both of those games are being at home for Texas A&M.
They got a whole week off after Arkansas to get ready for that game.
So. Oh, I know, but it could still be on their radar. And plus, let's be honest, Texas A&M, for whatever reason, when they go into Jerry World, they do not play motivated in those games. They don't like to go to those games. It's kind of the same syndrome that Arkansas's had for quite some time when they go to Little Rock and War Memorial. They just don't like it. They don't like the travel. They don't like it when it's not a home game, even though they feel like it should be one of their home games. It's they're not traveling far enough to, for it to be considered a road game. They just don't like it. So, you know, that, again, you need all the benefits and everything you can possibly take to go in your favor in next week against Texas A&M. I know you got to get through San Jose State, but you know that's going to be another spot to where you might be able to really figure some things out against Texas A&M next week. So, but I know we're going to do our fence man picks here in about an hour from now, and this is going to be one of the games that we're going to pick. But you know, this is also a big game for Gus Malzahn in Auburn, because Auburn, we know the type of both teams have had a daunting schedule this year, let's be honest. But Auburn's sitting at 3-0 right now. They got the victory against Oregon. They're a top 10 team. And if they are able to take care of business against Texas A&M on the road, I'm not saying that saves Gus Malzahn's job for sure, but looking at the rest of the way, playing Mississippi State next after that, they got to go to number 9 Florida, which I know Florida's a top 10 team, but I still think Florida's overrated, and I don't think they're as good as what they're supposed to be, at least, or projected to be. Then they have Arkansas. Well,
and they've lost their Felipe Franks.
Yes, exactly. So
that's not helping things at Florida.
That's right.
Trask was pretty good against Kentucky, but that's not helping
things. Yeah, and then you have, of course, LSU after that, then Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama. That doesn't get any easier for them. So this Texas A&M Auburn game might be like, all right, whoever wins this game, you're probably going to be third in the division, because it's going to be Alabama number 1 and LSU number 2 at this point. Mm-hmm. So now you're battling for third in that position. And if A&M gets third in the West, people think Jimbo Fisher's been doing a pretty good job and at least going in the right direction. But if Auburn and Malzahn finishes 4th, 5th, 7-5 yet again, which is very possible if they lose to Texas mm-hmm. A&M this weekend, you know, they may be trying to figure out his buyout numbers.
Any interest from you at all in the Mississippi State-Kentucky game?
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of interest in that because I put money on it.
You did what?
I put money on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which way did you go?
The line that I got in on was Kentucky plus 6. So I don't think Mississippi State's good. I think Kentucky, even though they've lost their starting quarterback, I think that they're a well-coached team, and I think that Mark Stoops is a really good coach and is doing a good job at Kentucky, and Joe Moorhead still... You know, still the jury's still out on him, but I like that game because obviously too, those two teams are Arkansas's best chance of getting a victory.
That was my point. I want to watch that game or keep an eye on that game just because we talked about the three most winnable games. Two of those three teams are in that game, so certainly a game I'm going to keep an eye on too.
Yeah, but I don't know. I put money on two different games this week, and that was one of them. I don't know. I guess got a feeling about Kentucky. The other game, of course.
Didn't know you were a gambling man.
Well, you know, I dabble.
I know you talk a big game, but I didn't know you had a big game.
I dabble. Right. Also got in on Tennessee plus 14.5 against Florida.
Ty, we both need to go get a case of ramen noodle and just keep it on hand.
Well, when this all just goes, in case,
just
John
in
loses.
Case, because we got to take care of our boy here. When this goes bad and he doesn't have gas money for his big, you know, his big F-150 out there and he can't eat. We can at least be ready to pick him up, all right?
I did all those shenanigans in college. I've since stopped that. I don't mind talking betting, but when you get back in the game, it's hard to get back out.
Generally in the radio game, we talk a big game and have zero follow-through. But, yeah. I mean, I'm impressed with your follow-through.
Well, I'm not going out here and going...
I mean, to drop 1,000 on a couple of games, that's impressive. That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, is it's not even thousands. You're talking about like $15 each game to win 30. I mean, I don't think I'm not going all in and having bookies and sitting here and making phone calls trying to get in on late parlays. You know, I'm not doing that. It's just it's something to make the games a little more interesting and enjoyable is all. And it's fun.
Have I ever told you my favorite story about a guy with a bookie?
You have not.
All right, so it's like one of these Saturdays in the fall, like right now.
Yeah.
And he's lost 13 games all day. And there's nothing, it's one of these games that's later in the year. And the only thing else, so he's lost every game from 11 a.m. through the Pac-12 games. And he's looking for something to get his money back. So he calls his bookie. He's 0 for 13 for the day. And she says, the only thing left is some West Coast NBA. He goes, no, I don't know anything about the NBA.
Jeez.
Well, after going 0 for 13, no, I don't know anything about the NBA.
Well, see, and that's well, that's some of the rules that as far as what I've learned in the whole betting on sports is that never bet on the NBA, which is, I think, is a fair assessment. Never bet on the NBA. and never bet on or against the team you root for. Those are kind of the two major rules that I've been given in this whole thing. So I just wanted to clear that up. But no, again, like I said, Tommy, if you want to get in on it, just let me know. Nope. I got a bookie.
Nope, I'm out.
So you're a guy who ventures into all types of different things.
I'll take risk in a lot of ways, but that's just one thing I'm not doing.
You'll take risk in the stock market.
I will bet on a game if I'm in Vegas, like for a few days. I'm not getting involved in all that. Now maybe that it's legal and it's here, but I don't know.
I'm just saying if you want to get on it, just let me know. I got a guy.
You got a guy.
I got a guy. Yeah,
I like my kneecaps where they're at.
Well, just yeah. You mean you're gonna have to make sure you're good for it if I vouch for you because. You know, I'll be hanging with a fish hook inside of my spine. And
we're growing up at the golf course. These guys that come in at the turn, they get on the, you know, no one had cell phones back then. This is number 1374. I need a dime on Mississippi, whoever it was. Give me UCLA -3 for a nickel. And then they go out and play the back nine, you know?
Yeah.
Then someone else would get on the phone. Yeah, this is 1742 and I need... I'm like, what are we doing here? You know? Yeah.
Well, see, and that's
the greatest place in the world to get raised. You learn how to cuss and gamble and show respect for older adults. And I mean, it's a great place to grow up.
It's a whole new lifestyle out there, for sure. You're like,
Dad, what's 1741? And why is he only betting a nickel on the game? They take bets for a dime, Dad? Why would they do that?
Well, and what cracks me up too, because some of the people I've ran into, like I have a guy that tells me he's like, no, I'm pretty good at sports gambling. I'm good at making picks. I'm like, okay, listen, you're not Biff Tannen with your little almanac sports, whoever it was with your sports almanac that you're looking into it and seeing who you already know who's going to win the games. How can you really be good at it? And I'd like to know how many millionaires have been created based on betting on sports.
None. Yeah. Well, no, the casinos.
Right, but I'm saying like just strictly betting on sports. Right. There's probably been none. So again, it's just about having fun more than anything and having interest in games that you normally wouldn't.
You do it long enough, everyone's a loser.
Oh yeah. It's just like
they're smarter than us. Well, listen, Vegas is smarter than all of us combined.
Well, listen, if you go over to Vegas and you're trying to have some fun there, what are the chances? Are you good at playing the slots? No. It's all luck. It's all a game of luck, and that's what a lot of this is. It's just games of luck. So but it's still fun, needless to say. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Rod is on 412. What's going on, Rod?
Good morning, guys. Gambling. No. John, you've never lived a week on a gallon of milk and a box of ding-dongs, have you?
Let me tell you. I did go through college that way, but no, not as an adult. Are we losing Rod? I think we lost Rod. Sorry about that, Rod. We lost you there, my man.
Cell phone hell there.
Yeah, pay your phone bill, buddy. Come on now. I don't know how we got into sports gambling, but see, we do the fence man picks, but I don't think that's
entertainment.
We still haven't figured out what we're doing for this.
Yeah, well.
We're going to do this again, like, just like we did last year, where we keep talking about it. We keep saying, oh, yeah, we got to figure out what's going to happen. And then by the time we saw Tommy ended up was going to win, we're like,
now that we know you're gambling for real, you won't have any money to pay me and Clay.
Well, Tommy, we can't do money because you said you wouldn't do sports gambling.
It's just not my thing. Makes me too nervous.
Well, what would make you not nervous? what would you be willing to bet on? Is it your well-being, your health? Are you willing to bet on that?
I feel guilty sitting in church on Sunday knowing I'd gambled in college football the day before.
Tommy.
Man, I can't be doing that.
Yeah. I mean, what would the reverend
say? How would I get through Sunday school class knowing with that burden on my heart?
Knowing that you took Tulane at -5. I mean, how would you go through all of that?
Get through it.
My goodness. Yeah. Well, I'm just telling you that it makes
games
more interesting.
You have to tie on sports wagering wins.
You have a tie?
You got to pay taxes on it.
You tithe on that too? Yeah. It just creates a whole layer of problems for you.
And that's why you're not doing it, right?
Yeah. Still guilty sitting in church on Sunday.
But you're in the stock market. And I mean, what's the
difference?
That's
legalized gambling, isn't it?
Well, hey, it's legalized too.
It's true.
You're
punching a lot of holes in my argument here.
I know, but what would be more fun, Tommy? Watching the stock market or watching sports? Let's be honest.
Might do better in doing some sports.
Yeah, well, it depends on where you get in on, too. So, yeah, but that's my
stock market picks hadn't been very good either.
No. And I probably need to get more into the stock market. But do you have a guy?
I don't know.
Do you just do your own stock market deal? Or do you have a guy?
I have a guy. Not sure how good my guy is either.
See, so what is the difference here? You're over here talking about, well, John, when you get you eating ramen noodles, yeah. I'm betting $10 here.
Yeah.
You got stock on Netflix and whatnot.
Well, that ain't been so great either lately.
Just need to get in the right way, man.
Buy low, sell high.
That's right. That's right.
I seem to be doing that in reverse.
Have you ever had a big miss? Or that one that you had a chance to get in on, but then you didn't, and it ended up being big?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that like a sick feeling that you have in your stomach?
Nah. Move on.
On the Cleveland.
Move on. On to Cincinnati.
Yeah. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'd be sick. But either way, we have some people texting into our Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. Sean in Greenwood says, betting the NBA the week before the All-Star break is a lock for big parlay wins. And 25
a
bets.
Yeah. It's like, sure.
There's no such thing as a lock.
He just put the word lock and parlay together.
And dude, NBA.
Those do not go together. There is no such thing as a lock with a parlay.
No. And he says 25 bet with three games with spread and over under. So 6 bets on the total parlay. Easy money. Sorry. Well, Sean, I appreciate your confidence, man. But no, that's not the case. I would not be doing that.
Let me tell you what happens when I bet. So we're at Bally's. This is 20-something years ago. Me and my dad and my brother and a group of guys, we're out there, and it's wild card weekend, NFL playoffs, and the Giants are playing somebody. I don't know, but they have scored. We're down to 10 seconds to go in the game, John. Mm-hmm. This is why I don't bet anymore.
This is why. Okay.
So the Giants have the game won, but they're not going to cover, and everything's perfect. I am, and there's like less than 10 seconds left in the game. Whoever they're playing kicks off onside to the New York Giants. All they have to do is cover the ball, get on the ground, and run out the clock. I am standing in line to cash my ticket. This game is over. I have won. Let's go eat a big steak. What do you think happened next?
I would reckon that they recovered the onside kick.
No. The Giants got the onside kick and returned it for a touchdown.
Oh.
That they didn't need. They already had the game won. This is why I don't gamble on sports.
Can you repeat the word that you said when that happened?
There were more than one word. And no, I can't. None of them are suited for air.
Oh, see, and again, that
a
right
team
there,
that did not need to score. All they needed to do was fall down on the ball. Run out the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Returns an onside kick for a touchdown. And broke it off in me.
I haven't had that happen yet.
That is why.
I haven't had it happen yet, but if that ever does, I will probably give up and quit as well.
Done.
I couldn't do it.
Done.
I'm glad we had a sports gambling segment here. Perfect way to introduce Clay Henry when he comes up next.
Talk about a gamble.
Yeah. Having him on the show without a dump button. Yeah, I bet.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Clay is killing us right now. He has 6 picks correct on the season so far, and the rest of us have 3.
He's like the racehorse. He's leading at the quarter mile pole. We'll see how he does down the backstretch here.
I'm telling you, he's hustling us. Yeah. He's doing this thing where he's like, I'm not very good at this, but no, he's got people that are getting them the answers here. So we got some making up to do to try to catch up with Clay. So without further ado, let's jump right into the Fence Man Friday picks.
Fenceman Friday football picks. Call the Fenceman for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fenceman. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right. Let's go ahead and kick things off here. We'll start with other games besides Arkansas. We'll leave that one for the last one. We'll start with the game of the week in college football. Georgia, Notre Dame. Notre Dame number 7 in the country, Georgia number 3. This game being played in Athens, Georgia. Cheapest tickets, $420 if you want to get into this game. So it's going to be a big one. Georgia is favored by 14.5 points in this game. A pretty large number for top 10 teams. Henry, who do you got in this one?
I think I'm going to go with Georgia.
You're going to go with Georgia?
Georgia. Okay.
Smart pick, smart pick. Tommy?
This half point deal is the part that just...
It's a killer.
Because I like Georgia at 14, that half
makes you think.
That's a third score, obviously. Man. Georgia's better, though. Better on the lines, better with skilled people. I'm going to roll the dice. Give me Georgia, and I'll lay the points.
All right. Got Georgia there for Tommy. Clay, what about you?
I'll take Georgia.
Take Georgia.
I think they'll win by three touchdowns. Yeah.
Man, I was hoping that this one may be able to get one of you guys onto Notre Dame, but I guess I got to go with Georgia too.
So you're not going to go the other way.
No, I'm not going to.
Well, this would have been your chance to pick up a point on everybody.
Well, I know, but I was hoping that I could bait somebody into taking Notre Dame, so that way I could make something move out of
the,
it. But
the cleanest way we can say it, Clay, is he's got he's no guts.
I do this.
No guts.
I do this a lot of different ways. No, I mean, I do this a lot of different ways. Sometimes I pick with my mind and sometimes with my heart. I cannot pick Notre Dame in anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not Texas, but they're right there close.
I get you.
All right. Well, no one's going to get extra points on that one, so it's a wash. That's okay, though. We'll move on to the next game, which hopefully has at least a little bit of different picks going on, and that is the other big SEC game, Texas A&M and Auburn. This game being played in College Station. Texas A&M is favored by 4 in this game. Clay, who are you going with?
I got Texas A&M.
Texas A&M. All right, fair enough.
The home team. I'm going to take Auburn.
Okay.
I'm going with the home team. Auburn's getting the points, right?
No.
How do you say that?
That is correct.
Texas A&M's favored.
Right. Auburn's getting.
Yes, yes.
That's what I said. Yeah. Give me Auburn in points.
Okay. So. All right, Henry?
I'm going to take Auburn.
You're going to take Auburn?
A chance, yeah.
Okay. Now, this one was difficult. If it was 3 points, probably would have thought a lot more about it, but I'm going to take Texas A&M.
Right.
I'm going to hold my nose doing it.
So we got some split decisions here.
That's right. So I'm going to take Texas A&M in that one. All right. So let's move on to the Arkansas-San Jose State game. Arkansas favored by 3 touchdowns in this game. And according to my vigorous research, this is the first time Arkansas has been favored by 3 touchdowns against a Division I opponent in the Chad Morris era. And I'll start it off since I haven't gone first just yet. I'm gonna have Arkansas. I'm gonna take them. They're gonna win by at least 3 touchdowns in this game. Of course, we'll give our final predictions later in the show. But give me Arkansas and covering 21 points, Henry.
Man, that's tough.
It is. It's a lot of points.
I'm gonna chance it. We'll just go with Arkansas.
How okay. We'll All go. Right. Going with Arkansas as well for Henry the Fence Man. What about you, Tommy?
I think this is of all the FBS teams Arkansas's played in recent years. This is somewhere near the bottom of the list. I think Arkansas has gained some confidence. I do think Arkansas will be flat in the first half, and you're going to be sweating it. But I think Arkansas eventually, kind of like last week, gets some late scores, enough done in the second half. Arkansas covers this line at 21. Give me Arkansas and give away the points. I just don't think San Jose State's that good.
All right, Clay?
Yeah, I'm with all you guys. I kind of wanted to give some separation and was hoping maybe y'all would pick wrong in this last game, but I agree with you and I'm going to go with Razorbacks. Yeah. And I think this will be another good performance, and I think there's some momentum for the way they played in the fourth quarter. I don't think they'll be flat to start the game. I think they've had a good week of practice, and I think they're going to play well.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we got 2 games now that are going to be complete washes. Yep. So if we're going to gain some ground,
it's all about Auburn and A&M.
But one of us can gain here some points in our final bonus question, which is the total amount of receiving yards for Trey Knox in this game against San Jose State. Tommy, how many yards does Trey Knox finish with?
Oh, I got to go first. 90
yards. All right, Henry.
I'm going to say 89.
89. Okay. Right. Doing some Price is Right stuff here. All right. Clay?
No, you said I could go last.
Okay, that's
time.
Right. You're right. I'm sorry. I will go ahead and go. I will say he gets 75.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, all right, Clay, what do you got?
So, tell me, you can go lower, and if he's higher than that, but under everybody else, you win, right?
Right. If you say 1 yard and he gets
1 yard, baby. Okay. 1 yard.
All right.
I've wanted to do this all my life.
Just say $1, Bob.
Give me $1, Bob.
$1, Bob.
Okay, right. Fair enough then. So just to recap it really quick, we all have Georgia over Notre Dame, so no fun there. We also all have Arkansas over San Jose State. No fun there. It's going to be 1 with Auburn and Texas A&M, to which Henry the Fence Man and Tommy, you both have Auburn.
Yes.
Me and Clay have Texas A&M in this game. And then as far as the total receiving yards for Trey Knox against San Jose State, Tommy says 90. Henry says 89. I say 75. Clay goes with 1 yard.
So just to be clear, anything over 90, I'm the winner, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Ooh. And Trey Knox is kind of beat up this week, so you guys weren't even aware of that. I don't know how much he's going to play. That's why I went.
He's going to fight through it, Clay. That's my hope. He's going to fight through it.
It only takes about 3 good plays.
That's right. All right. So
I'm joking. He's fine. I just made that up. I was like, oh no.
Yeah. No. That's going to be the kicker right there. So all right, boys, let's go ahead and lock it in, and we'll see if we can gain any ground on Clay for next week, Tommy.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Former Razorback quarterback Tyler Wilson. Tyler, appreciate you joining us, man. How you doing?
Yeah, man, I'm good. We're good after a win, right?
That's right.
So a little more energy this week, I think, from everybody. So I'm good.
Oh, well, let's just start right there with the game against Colorado State and that victory. It definitely had some confidence building there, not only for the team, but for the fan base. But, man, that offense looked like night and day from the first two games, and Nick Starkle had a really great performance. What'd you make of that performance by him and the offense?
You know, he did. I think he came out and did what a lot of people saw, for just a glimpse there in the Ole Miss game, and that was give the team a lot of energy. And that energy and optimism, and then, you know, you combine that with some talent, and, you know, personality is so interesting. And that's why people try to evaluate personality on the NFL level when they're drafting players, because, you know, some people just have a personality to let it go. There were several plays, you know, on third down, that he throws the ball with so much one anticipation, but strength and confidence, and puts the ball right on the numbers of the receiver that we hadn't seen that since Chad Morris has been at Arkansas, where there's been the timing looked crisp, where there's been play action and consistency. And, you know, Starkle looked like he was as prepared of a quarterback as we've seen, certainly in the Chad Morris era and maybe even, you know, at times in the Bielema era.
Tyler's Clay, and you know, this is an opponent that is pretty predictable. They're going to blitz. I guess that's an unpredictable thing, but you know they're going to blitz, and they blitz in unorthodox ways. And also you throw that in that they've got an open date. And just wonder how you prepared for a team that was unpredictable plus has an open date. And what does that do to your mental preparation this week if you're an Arkansas quarterback?
You know you're going to get their best stuff, and sometimes stuff that you almost would rather play an SEC game sometimes as opposed to some of these non-con games, because you know the SEC game, they're going to have better players, but the better players are going to do predictable stuff. And when you get a maybe not as good of a player, but you get a player that has a lot of determination to prove something to his friends and family that he's playing at, you know, San Jose State, but we get to play Arkansas this week and watch all these tricks we get to run against Arkansas. There could be the first quarter or maybe the first half of this game where Arkansas's trying to be a little bit more careful. And you know, you're always a little bit unsure going into the game what you're going to see and what you're going to get. Kind of similar to week one with Portland State.
Tyler, last week Nick Starkle threw for over 300 yards, used the deep ball more than we've seen in recent times. Are you seeing some evidence of this offense evolving where that can be more of a staple? And how much of that element do you think is going to help and advance the run game too by making defenses respect the passing game that Starkle's bringing to the table?
You know, I think when I came on in week one, I was so disappointed because Portland State was showing like this, you know, press man with safety in the middle, and it sure seemed like Arkansas could take some shots, and they were kind of rolling into a zone afterwards, and it wasn't quite what you thought it was, and so Arkansas didn't take any deep shots. You go to You go to Ole Miss, and you didn't take any deep shots really at Ole Miss. You took a couple, but it was still really conservative. And then there was this ball game. And this ball game was like, oh my goodness, finally we've got some ammunition. Finally we've got some arm strength. And then you loosen everybody up, and then you start to see some gashes in the run game. And, you know, this offense is called the spread no huddle system. And if you can't spread the field in this system, then it's pointless. But now you've got a quarterback, and it seems like you've got Coach Morris and Coach Craddock that are spreading the field. And when you spread the field, this thing can really go. And, you know, separate from that, I mean, you got to give the staff credit, and you got to give these players credit. I mean, they took the opening play to the house. And there's probably a lot of people in that stadium that were really restless and questioned everything at that point. And these guys were resilient probably two or three different times in this ball game to grab the heart check a little bit, or the soul check, gut check, and they certainly kept playing right through things. So that's definitely the deep ball changed the whole outlook of the game from an offense perspective.
We're speaking with Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback, via the Cherokee Casino Hotline here on the Morning Rush. And Tyler, another thing too, just continuing on with the offense, is having some weapons that we actually got to see some showcased ability, not only from the true freshmen and Traylon Burks and Trey Knox and what they were able to do, and also a guy like Shion O'Grady with that great play he had against Colorado State as well. A great quarterback is always great, but it's also great to have some great big athletic guys to throw the ball to. And that's the type of thing that can also get you excited if you're Nick Starkle, knowing you have some guys that you can rely on to make some plays.
Well, I mean, the Shion O'Grady play was, you know, that's the highlight maybe of the year. If they keep, you just keep playing that one over and over again, that could be the highlight of the year. As many people were on him trying to tackle him, you know, and he had great balance through that. And then you talk about Knox. I mean, Knox made some great catches, and you feel like he can be a deep threat and deep threat against SEC talent. And then, you know, you look at some of the running backs being able to not only contribute on the ground, but be able to catch the ball. And man, I really like where it's going. I think this week, if you're able to get a win against San Jose State, you certainly should after you beat Colorado State. But you're sitting 3-1, and I think people felt like Arkansas, you know, could win four games, but maybe that game has been lifted from four games to five now. I don't know if that's the feeling you're getting, Clay or Tommy. But,
yeah, I think
this maybe increases a game.
Yeah, Tyler, when the very first game play of the game. You know, Chad Morris, I think, said on his radio show Wednesday night that, you know, they saw the coverage and the play they'd worked on was just a little out. You know, it's like raise it up, throw it, you know, 5 yards and, you know, take that and move it on down. And Starkle raised up and threw kind of a deep curl, or I'm not sure exactly what that route is, but it was a vertical route that just like I'm going – And the coach is like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Yes. So how many times did you go against what the call was? And it's like, I'll tell Coach Petrino, this is the play I really wanted to throw.
Well, guys, it's funny because the last time I was on this radio show, we talked about this. You know, we talked about certain quarterbacks. You know, I was kind of coaches sometimes are uncomfortable if they don't know where the football is going at all times. And, you know, it's their career, it's their job, it's their livelihood. And they like to put a quarterback in that, you know, when I'm thinking throw the out route to the left, I know the ball 99% chance is going to go out route to the left. And, you know, I think sometimes I was crippled as a player because the coaches, they like to know exactly what was going to happen. And, you know, you look at this year, Ben Hicks probably got the nod early. Not, I think people maybe think, you know, there were promises made or whatever. I think Ben Hicks got the nod early because they knew exactly where Ben was going to go with the ball, and Ben knew where they wanted the ball thrown, and it was a predictable, it was a predictable thing, and that's not always a good thing. I mean, it's sometimes a good thing for a coach that he feels that way, but yeah, in my career, I think Garrick McGee about went crazy most of the time, and it was, you know, for understood the reason, but half the time in practice, it was, you know, we break the huddle and all four or five wide receivers would never really know who's getting the ball. And, you know, there was some common sense to playing quarterback. And I mentioned that I think the best players, even though it's designed throw that route to the left, if they're playing off coverage to the right and you get an opportunity, you know, there's some people that have it in their DNA that they're willing to take the own it, and I'm going to make this call and make this decision, and I know it's going to work because I believe in it. And then, you know, but very few people have the ability to make that call themselves. I think Starkel's got a little bit of that wild hair in him to make some of those plays at times that other players wouldn't make. And, you know, I call it maybe the Brett Favre mentality. I had a little bit of it in me. And as a result, what happens is every wide receiver that breaks that huddle goes, I know it's probably going to left, but Starkel's in here. And some of the good quarterbacks, they always keep those wide receivers a little bit guessing.
Former Razorback Tyler Wilson with us here on the Morning Rush on a Football Friday, brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC. I know we spend a lot of time on offense with you for obvious reasons. I want to ask you about the defense for Arkansas. We saw a couple plays, one there early where Colorado State was able to go on a long run and score a touchdown of 75 yards in that early going. Arkansas got gashed a few times. What are you seeing defensively from Arkansas? What do they need to fix? And how do you think they are going into a conference game a week from now?
I think you always have some good feelings about Chavis. I mean, Chavis has got more resume than any coach on that staff probably combined. You know, Chavis is going to have his guys prepared. And you look at what the scheme is and what the game plan is. You know, Chavis has had a kind of an interesting career where he's you know, had times where he's been relatively conservative. He's had times where he's been really, really aggressive. As of late, you're seeing maybe a more conservative approach, and you know, it's for good measure. There'll be some times I think he's got to be aggressive, just due to the personnel that he has. You know, you're not going to line up and dominate people from a physical perspective. So, you know, you got to get a little bit creative and gamble at times, but you got to, you know, part of the art of being a defensive coordinator is knowing when to dial it up and when to, you know, play safe. And Chavis is as good as anybody in the country at rolling the dice. So, you know, I totally have faith that our defense can continue to get better. And this is another opportunity this week against a lesser opponent before you get into SEC play.
Also, Tyler, I was just curious on your thought on, since last week, when leading up into the game against Colorado State, everyone wanted to see more out of the offense, and I think we saw a lot more out of the offense. Now heading into San Jose State, when you're watching the game, where's your focus going to be? What are you going to be watching for, and what are you hoping to see this team in order for them to continue to take that next step into getting the later into the season, especially in conference play?
Well, I don't know who schedules weddings in football season, but I'm going to be at the altar, not getting married, but watching somebody get married, and it should be right about kickoff.
Oh, man.
And I'm sure there'll be, you know, in the groom's room, you'll have the phones out, you'll have the TVs on, so I'll be tuned in. But I was actually asked, I think Marvin Gaston called me the other day and said, "Hey, will you be the honorary captain?" It was like on Thursday, and I'm like, "Well," I said, "Marvin, I'm actually in a wedding, so sorry, but it'll be interesting. If I can catch enough of this game, I'll certainly watch all the highlights. But guys, I think San Jose State maybe a little bit. I don't know. I don't keep up with San Jose State as much as I should, but or maybe that would be a total waste of my time. But if we can't go out and execute and do what we did last week, regardless of what they throw at us, I'd be disappointed. I think tying two good weeks here together will totally change the momentum of this football team. And I'm certainly hoping for that and expecting that. I really don't care about what the score is, but the energy and the execution and those kind of things, I think should be similar to what we saw last weekend.
Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback. Always appreciate you hopping on with us on these Fridays. Mm-hmm. Tyler, enjoy the weekend and enjoy the wedding, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good, fellas.
All right, appreciate it, man. All guests join us via the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
Morning Rush brought to you in part by World of Wireless, 877-305-DISH. Right now you can sign up with DISH, lock in your price for 2 years, 3 rooms for under $85 a month. Also ask about the tailgater unit if you're headed to the game tomorrow. You're going to tailgate all day, and you need a portable satellite system that's easy to use and easy to set up. Call WOW right now and get yours for this weekend. 877-305-DISH for WOW, World of Wireless. Clay, what stood out to you there was Tyler broke some things down for us.
Tyler's going to be in a wedding.
And, yeah.
I mean, that stood out. It reminds me of, maybe 10 years ago, I got a call from a guy in Ozark, and he's like, hey, I'm getting married. This was in the summer, and I was like, and he's like, I'd like for you to, you know, to stand with me at the wedding. I was like, well, sure, when is it? And he gave me the date, and I was like, do you know that's Arkansas-Texas weekend? I think it was a trip that they made down to Austin. Matt Jones, you know, they, you know, tore him up or whatever. And he goes, yeah, I know. Does this kind of say that I'm letting this thing get started with my wife and, you know, in charge? I said, I don't think it kind of says that. I mean, so you let her pick Arkansas-Texas for the wedding? And that game was already set on TV, and it was the time. You knew it. And
so how amicable was their divorce then?
I'm not going to get into all that, but it's there was not a divorce. Let's just put it that
all
way.
Right.
So in you know it turned out really good. So but it was like, dude, you just think about, you know, all your anniversaries,
all I know.
He goes, I know.
Yeah, you got to put your foot down early, you know.
Yeah, he said this is when we could get the church and blah blah. You know, kind of, you know. I was like,
excuses.
I will not be there. I'm sorry, that's my job. I can't. You know, it's not going to happen. So, yeah. But it was very interesting that, you know, when you hear weddings are on a football Saturday, this is starting off on the wrong foot.
You've got to get a license to catch a trout. You got to get a license to kill a deer. You got to get a license to drive a car. You got to get a license to get married. And a lot of those things, like killing deer and catching a trout, and not trout so much, but they have a season, right? There are date ranges in which you can do certain set events. Weddings ought to have a prohibition. You can't get a marriage license for a Saturday wedding in the fall. It ought to be a state law. Don't be rude to all the guests and ask them to come to your wedding on a big football Saturday.
Well, it is a rule in my family. Let's just put it that way.
It won't happen in my house either. Raising them right. It's just rude.
I think it's more for hunting season, too.
Yeah. Can't kill a deer, or you're not supposed to be killing deer in the middle of the summer. Weddings should happen in the summer. Football and deer hunting happen in the fall.
Put it in April and May.
Exactly.
In that range, and we'll all be good. We'll all be happier.
Yeah, quit selling the license for all this.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.